Got an issue you just can't fix?
On the fence about what direction you should take?
Been wrestling with a situation that's out of control? Let's take it out of the too hard basket.
And from the too hard basket this week, Renee is considering a career change. She writes to us and says, I'm a police officer with 25 years experience in frontline duty as a first responder. I've recently been diagnosed with cumulative PTSD. I'm currently off work duties and struggling with anxiety type issues. My primary focus, she writes, at the moment is self-care, eating well, getting enough sleep and exercise. She goes on to say, Renee, I am floundering with the uncertainty, though, of my career moving forward, and I'm unsure at this stage if I'll be able to return to my position. She goes on to say, there are other non-operational positions within the department that I may be able to explore when I am improved, but I don't know if I even want to be there anymore. I'm reassessing everything since attending an incident, which was the straw that broke the camel's back. I've been a sole parent for over 10 years. At 50 years old, I have a mortgage and I'm the sole income earner for the family. Do I consider a late career change, Renee asks, or do I stick with what I know, even if it is challenging? So what advice would you offer, Renee? Perhaps you've had to make a similar decision in your life. You can leave a post or a comment on the RN Facebook page. To delve into Renee's dilemma, we have co-founder of Meteor Mentors Australia, Denise Erickson. Denise, hello, welcome back.
Hello, thank you, lovely to talk.
And from a long time in our past, we've done a bit of work together in our time, but it's great to have him back on the radio, clinical psychologist Andrew Fuller. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Denise. Great to be with you both.
Can I just say, before we begin, you two, I just want to say to Renee, thank you so much for trusting us with such a difficult situation for you, particularly as you're also dealing with PTSD. I think we're all very honoured in the trust you've placed with us. Denise, what stands out for you as you hear about her plight?
Oh, my heart hurts, to be honest. I'm assuming, of course, here with all of my comments that under really good medical care for PTSD. Sadly, it is something I know a little bit about personally, and I know that it needs top-class treatment. But the main thing career-wise is congratulations, Renee, on sticking in one career for 25 years.
Yeah.
You may not be aware of this, but it's now sort of average for an Australian to have between 5 and 7 careers and 17 employers in their work lifetime. So it's all right to actually be starting to think about what's next, even at 50, particularly at 50, when you're setting up for the sort of rest of your life. I've had more career changes than hot dinners, to be honest.
Well, clearly, you know, Renee has been welded almost to the job, and perhaps this scenario has been a long time coming. Andrew, can I just ask, from a clinical psychologist's point of view, does Renee need to come to grips with the outcomes for her personally of the PTSD before she starts making big decisions?
Yes. I mean, trauma is tough. Post-traumatic stress disorder is a tough thing, but with good mental health treatment, it's quite a treatable condition. And if you don't treat it, what happens, I guess I keep saying, if you don't transform pain, you tend to transmit it. And so it's important, I think, to get a bit of grip on it before you decide on your kind of life direction.
One would hope, and I think we've already heard from Denise that that hopefully Renee is receiving the kind of PTSD treatment and support that's most appropriate. And I would imagine by now, every police force in Australia has some degree of professional input in this regard. So, Andrew, from Renee's point of view, should she just be holding off on making big life-changing career decisions right now?
Well, it's an interesting perspective because I guess partly you need to think about what attracted you to that career in the first place.
Right.
Now, generally speaking, people who are in the sort of high emergency, high energy type response careers like a bit of adrenaline in their lives, so they're not probably going to be suited to sitting at a desk doing administration. And so you're probably inclined to find some pattern or some occupation that's going to give you some of that that energy. So it may be that she might be better to think very carefully before she changes or downgrades her level of excitement in her job, because it might be just what she needs. It's just that at the moment it's a bit scary because of the trauma.
And Denise, you're encouraging Renee not to rush this, but when she's ready, I think you propose a kind of skills audit, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, look, our company, Media Mentors Australia, our whole business is actually helping people with careers. A lot of people seek to change them, improve them, move on, negotiate better employment situations that will suit them well. So I think that, like, there's quite a process, and it's a simple process. And I wonder whether or not it's something that, as Renee, as you get better, you can start sort of doing it in a parallel. Because I suspect that what you don't really feel maybe at the moment possibly is that you don't have a lot of skills that are transferable. But actually, you have a huge range of skills as a successful police officer that can be sort of, you know, used in many, many other in many other jobs. So I guess what I'd start out with is doing a bit of a skills audit. And that sometimes that's a bit hard, because you need to have somebody to say, yeah, but you're really good at that too. Don't forget that. So writing down all of your skills from, you know, admin, all sorts of things that you will have done. Let's just strengths and weaknesses as well. And again, you might need a bit of help to do that, because we find it a little bit hard to, you know, have a deep dive on what we're good at.
So a third eye perspective on all this would be useful, you think?
Yeah, I reckon. And, and sometimes not a friend, although a good friend can work. But I think that people undersell themselves constantly in our careers. We find that all the time. And once you start digging down, you go, oh, my God, I could do that. So I think, too, there's another thing that I think is really important is to actually work out how much money you actually need. You mentioned you're a single mum with a mortgage. So perhaps you could get a bit of a spreadsheet which goes over the next 5 years as your kids grow up and move on or whatever, and work out your finances, because that way you've got a solid bank of information to go, all right, I can make a decent decision on this. And also, I think, have a wee look around it. Once you know what your skills are and the sort of things that push your buttons and work, but don't Google jobs for ex-police officers. I did that. And you know what I found? Blast hole driller, chef, fitness trainer. It seems like you've got so many skills as an ex-police officer that you'd go for any job in the world. But there's some great sites like Seek where you can put in your skills and you can see what jobs come up, because actually then you're starting to compare apples and apples. You can say, well, this is the job I've got and these are the sorts of jobs that I will, you know, that I could get. And so you can start really applying your thought processes about what appeals to you. But the good thing for you, Renee, is that you're in the position of, you've got sick pay, you've got the support, I'm assuming, of the police force behind you. You can take some time over this.
Yes. Don't rush it.
No. Gosh, no. The world's out there, honestly. And, you know, I went from being a broadcast executive to a broadcast caterer, and it was the best thing I ever did, because I actually went and cooked on shows like MasterChef and made pudding for Voice and all this stuff, and it just broke that, gosh, what am I going to do next thing?
Oh, and that's great. So it was like a lateral move in that way.
Yeah, it was like a gap year. I worked for a year and I did all of these amazing jobs, Australia's Next Top Model, Biggest Loser, making cakes for the crew. It was fabulous. It was the hardest job I've ever done in my life. And I realized actually that telly was quite a good option after that. So I popped back to what I was doing. But it is a good world out there and it is scary. So just do your work to compare what's on offer and what you're doing. And then you can make a fairly rational decision about a direction for the future.
Well, Andrew and Denise, let me just read you, because we've had so many wonderful thoughts come through on Facebook on this. Suzanne overnight suggested to Renee that she go and speak with ex-cops who've left the service to work in other areas. She says, I challenge you to see if you can find a single one who has regretted leaving. My bet is you won't. And Suzanne says, you can start with me. After 15, listen to this. After 15 years in the police, I left. I was a 49-year-old solo parent of two teens. I now run my own adventure travel business. If the police teaches you nothing else, it teaches you resilience. I know your resilience is knocked about by PTSD, but that's where professional help comes in. And Suzanne, I think, has really exemplified some of those great skills that a lot of cops do have, and that is interpersonal skills, conflict resolution skills, decision-making under pressure, and also at the same time loving that adrenaline rush, in this case channeled by Suzanne into an adventure travel business. So, you know, these are all exemplars of where maybe Renee could head. Andrew, does that sound encouraging from your perspective? Hello, Andrew, you there? Oh, he might have dropped off.
Oh, never he might mind. Have gone. I'm loving Suzanne. She's amazing. That's such a good email.
Yeah, it's great. That was actually on Facebook. So the good thing about this, Renee, is that if you're listening, you can go to the RN Facebook page and see a number of people responding to this. And there's a lot of care and attention for Renee's state of mind right now. So we do hope that Renee is taking good self-care of herself. Andrew, are you back at all? Okay, Andrew's gone. I think he's gone forever.
It's just you and me.
That's all right. Never mind. So, look, on this, Denise, as you point out, Renee needs to practice self-care. And I think Andrew would say, too, that it goes beyond just looking after your diet and your sleep and your exercise. They're all important. But direct treatment for PTSD is really constructive and comes out the other side with you feeling better about yourself.
Absolutely.
So is our advice, therefore, that skills audit you recommend, plus, just taking time?
Yeah, and working out, there's lots and lots of options. As Suzanne is saying, there are lots of options out there. Just don't rush. You're in recovery. It's okay to be sick for a bit and work on your own recovery. Honestly, the world's your oyster, Renee. You sound amazing. You sound like an incredible person for what you've been through. So hang in there. We're all thinking of you.
Oh, brilliant. That's great. Thanks so much for that, Denise. That's co-founder of Media Mentors, Denise Erickson. And before he dropped away, clinical psychologist Andrew Fuller. And Renee, all the best. We are all thinking of you, and that's reflected in the Facebook reaction as well as texts, I'm sure.